Hey, good morning once again. My name is Stan. I'm the pastor here if we haven't had a chance to meet yet. And we are in week four of a series called Detox. Really glad you could be here this morning for it. I really do believe there is someone here this morning who needs to hear what it is that we are going to be talking about today. So really glad to have you here. One of the most fascinating things for me to sit back and watch as my kids grow up is when they become afraid of the dark. It's kind of strange if you think about it. As infants and as babies, even for quite a few years, each of our kids, they slept in like a totally pitch black room. No lamps, no night lights. We even had blackout curtains, sewed in, blocking out any little bit of light that would be creeping in the morning or at bedtime. They never knew anything different than just a big old pitch black room, and they never had a problem with it. From day one, they never had a problem with it at all. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it all changed. Right? It all changed. All of a sudden, bedtime became an issue, and the problem was always the same. There was some point, some age, that it seemed like it was the same age for both of them. All of a sudden, bedtime became a problem. Like I said, the problem was always the same. But Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm like, afraid of the dark? What? Like, how are you? You're afraid of something today that you weren't afraid of yesterday. Like, how did this happen? Where did this come from? Where did you develop all of a sudden this fear of the dark? It seemed silly to me then. Right? It seems silly to me to be afraid of something all of a sudden one day that you weren't afraid of the day before. When I was a kid, here's the thing. When I was a kid, my fears were far more rational. I didn't have any silly fears like this. For example, I was not afraid of the dark, no. But I knew that once you climbed into bed, you never left your head uncovered. Right? You always had to pull a sheet up over your eyes. Why? Because that was the only way to stay hidden. That was the only way to stay hidden from the guys that were perched outside of my window on the roof outside, staring in at me as I went to sleep, right? And a thin little sheet pulled up over my head was the only thing that I needed to protect myself because I operated by this simple rule, some very simple logic, actually. I shared a room with my older brother. I told him about this logic, and he used to always laugh at me, but it was incredibly, incredibly effective. Here's the logic that I operated with. If I can't see them, they can't see me. Right, I'm like figuring like, man, who are these guys that are like trying to look into me? But I figured, hey, if I can't see them, then they can't see me. Boom, crisis averted, right? I didn't even have to completely cover my head because that got hot and stuffy under there. All I had to do was pull the sheet up high enough so that it blocked my eyesight, right? So that I couldn't see out that way. And as long as I couldn't see them, they couldn't see me. As long as I was in this position, I was completely safe from whoever it was that I thought was sitting outside. See, I told you, my fears were totally rational as a little kid, right? Maybe not. Okay, did any of you have like childhood fears like these? Anyone afraid of the dark when you were little? Anyone willing to admit it? Okay, there's some hands going up. What about spiders, anybody? Basements? Clowns? There's some hands going up. What about thunderstorms? Anybody afraid of thunderstorms when you were a little kid? Okay, this was a for real one for me, thunderstorms. I kid you not, if I was at a friend's house and it started to thunderstorm, I had to go home. No questions asked. If it started storming, I'm not joking you, if it started storming, I'm on the phone with my parents and I was out of there, okay? That's a little embarrassing to admit, kind of a wimp there. But here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. We all can look back at our childhood fears, right? When we were little, just little kids. We can all look back at our childhood fears and laugh. We say, man, that was silly. I mean, how embarrassing, right? That was just kind of silly. But most of us, if we're being honest, most of us continue to battle with very real adult fears every day. Okay. We can look back at our fears as kids about basements and broom closets and imaginary guys out on our windows sills. We can look back at those childhood fears and laugh, but most of us continue to battle with very real adult fears every single day. And like a huge weight that is strapped onto our back and that just gets heavier and heavier and heavy every single day. Our fears weigh us down. Our fears hold us back, and they prevent us from experiencing the fullness of life that I think that God has in store for us. And I think they prevent us, and they hold us back from growing spiritually in a way that God wants for us. These fears of ours, adult fears every day, they hold us back from all this. Generally speaking, I think our adult fears, I think they fall into four categories. Here they are. There's a fear of loss, a fear of failure, a fear of rejection, and a fear of the unknown. I know there's like a bazillion different fears. There's maybe a ton of other categories, but I think for the most part, our fears fall into these four categories: loss, failure, rejection, and a fear of the unknown, right? One of the most basic fears I think we have is this fear of loss, right? We fear, you know, what if I lose someone that I love? What if I lose a job? Or what if I, you know, lose an investment? What if I experience some kind of financial loss? What if I lost control? That freaks some of us out. What if I can't keep tabs on everything and everyone? What if I can't keep every plate spinning around me in the way that I want to, right? We have this fear, this perpetual fear of loss of some kind. And there's this fear of failure. To be honest with you, I think the fear of failure is probably what plagues me most. It's probably the thing that limits me. It's probably the thing that holds me back to reaching my greatest potential. Sometimes I find myself wondering, hey, if I'm not up to the challenge, man, if I don't have what it takes, you know, to be the dad or husband or leader or pastor that I want to be. Right? I think, man, I don't know if I'm up to the challenge. Maybe you have some of these same fears of failure. If you do, you know the questions we ask. What if this doesn't work? You know, we're on the edge of something new, something big. We say, what if this doesn't work? I mean, what if this whole thing falls apart right in front of me? What if I don't have what it takes? What if I don't know what I'm doing? What if I get into the middle of it and I don't know how to make it happen? I don't know how to fix it. What if I don't know how to take it to the next level? What if I'm not successful? Right? These questions can be so toxic in our lives, because the truth is, most often when we're afraid to fail, we never even start. We never even set sail. We never even take a risk towards some of the things that God might be asking us to do. Okay, then there's this one, the fear of rejection. We say, what if they say no? You know, what if they turn me down? What if she doesn't like me? What if he leaves me? What if they don't accept him? What if they don't agree me? What if my boss doesn't like my idea? What if they don't include me? What if they don't value my opinion in this whole deal, right? These kinds of fears of ours of being turned down, these fears of rejection, they can be very real, they can be very devastating, and they can be paralyzing fears for some of us in the world that we live in the places that we work, right? And finally, there's the fear of the unknown. Sometimes not knowing what's around the corner can freak us out, right? And not knowing what's going to come, not being able to predict the future, not being able to line up all the cards can be hard for us, right? And so we're gripped with fear. We say, what if I get sick? What if I'm always alone? What if nobody loves me? What if my dreams don't come true? What if I don't, you know, meet my goals? Or what if I don't reach my fullest potential? What if this fear of the unknown, I can't see it. I can't picture it. What if it doesn't come to be? For some of us, these kind of fears can be very real. Is this clicking with anyone here this morning? Some heads are nodding. Now, I'm sure that your own fears, whatever it is for you, I'm sure your own fears in your adult life, they come quickly kind of flooding into your mind. And I'm sure all of our fears are very different. If we went around the room and kind of asked people, hey, what is it that you have a fear of even now? I'm sure they would be very different. But one thing I believe is absolutely the same about each and every fear that you and I might have. Our fears would be different, but I think there is one thing that is the same about them. No matter the fear that holds you, or no matter the fear that holds me captive, here's the one thing that I think is the same about it all that I want you to know this morning. That fear, it did not come from God. Whatever fear it is that you have that's different than mine, that's different than the person that's sitting next to you, that's different from the person that's sitting in front of you, whatever fear that is that holds you or me captive, it did not come from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul, he's writing to his young apprentice Timothy, the next generation of leaders that Paul is training up, right? He writes these letters in 1 and 2 Timothy to this next generation. Here's what he says to Timothy. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Okay, so here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Hey, Tim, your God-given potential is too great. So lean into it. Just fan those flames as often as you can." Then here's verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Some translations say of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Folks, here's one thing I want us to know this morning, that fear in us is not a part of God's original design for us. Let me say that again. Fear in us, whatever fear that exists in you, fear in us is not a part of God's original design for us. We learned it somewhere along the way, right? We developed it or acquired it somewhere along the way. Just like the kids that learned that the dark is all of a sudden something that they're supposed to be afraid of, I think the same is true for us. These things that we are afraid of are things that we learned somewhere along the way. Someone taught us, someone modeled for us, someone showed us that somehow we're supposed to be afraid of these things in our adult life too. But, that spirit of fear, that spirit of timidity and of worry that grips you and that grips me, it did not come from God. And what does not come from God, right, does not belong inside of you and me. It does not deserve to take up any more space inside of you and me, inside our heads or inside our hearts any longer. So it is my hope in this series, Detox, where we're looking to get rid of the things that hold us back. It is my hope that we would learn to get rid of this kind of fear in us once and for all. But before we get rid of it, right, here's a little bit of what I want to get into this morning. Before we get rid of it, I want us to pay attention to it. Because I think there's something valuable we can learn from it. There's something valuable we can learn from this fear that is inside of us. In fact, I think our greatest fears reveal to us two very important things. I want to share both of them with you here this morning. Here's number one. I think our greatest fears reveal what we value the most. I think that's number one, that our greatest fears reveal what you and I value the most. That's not to, you know, meant to be like a good or a bad thing. I'm telling you that what you value most is good or bad. I'm not trying to, make an assessment or evaluation of these things. It's just a thing, right? It can be an insightful thing, that whatever we fear the most has a way of revealing what it is that we value the most. And maybe that's our career, or maybe that's financial stability, or maybe that's our reputation, or our family, or our friendships, or our community, and so on. Examining what you fear can illuminate your priorities. So you say, oh, okay, yeah, these are the things that I must really care about. Examining your fear can illuminate your priorities, which are always good to know and are always good to examine in and of themselves, right? So our greatest fears reveal what it is that we value the most. Here's number two. Our greatest fears also reveal where we trust God the least. See, I think these are the two things that we learned, right? Our greatest fears reveal what we value the most, and our greatest fears at the same time reveal where we trust God the least. When you have a persistent fear in your life and in a given area, it can be an indicator that you're not depending on God to handle it. You're not confident that God would be there in the midst of whatever it is that you are afraid of, right? So when you're afraid to take a risk, you're afraid to accept a job, say yes to the opportunity that someone put in front of you, and you're asking yourself, I don't know, what if I fail? You know, what if I don't have what it takes? Essentially, you're saying to God, hey, God, I don't really trust you that you knew what you were doing when you put me together. I don't really trust you when you put this opportunity in front of me, right? When you're afraid of being rejected, wondering, hey, what if they leave me? What if I'm all alone forever? You're saying, hey, God, I don't really trust that you've got a plan for me. I don't really trust that on my own, I'm good enough. That on my own, God, I've got value and I've got purpose and I've got an identity that is worth something on its own with you in my life, right? Our greatest fears oftentimes reveal where we trust God the least. And honestly, I think that this is a place where many of us at many points in our lives, I think this is where we find ourselves, right? So often our what ifs, right? We ask these questions, what if, what if, what if, what if? So often our what if is a whole lot greater than our belief that God is. Right, that God is there, that God is good, that God is on our side, right? Our what if is so often greater than our belief that God is. And as it would turn out, right, this kind of stuff is so intriguing to me, right? As it would turn out, this is the very same place that one of the Bible's greatest heroes would find himself, right? Before he led one of the greatest movements in history, before God used him to pull off one of the most impressive victories, he stood at this very same crossroads. He stood at this very same fork in the road. His what if was looking to be a whole lot greater than his belief that God is, that God was able to do more in him than he thought was possible. His name was Moses, right? Some of you here this morning, you know his story well. Some of you know it less. So let me fill you all in here this morning. In the Old Testament, God appeared to Moses and gave him a pretty specific assignment to do for him, right? And so when God first appeared to Moses, calling on him to deliver the entire nation of Hebrew people out of slavery, he chose to do so. He chose to appear to this Moses by talking to him, get this, from a burning bush, okay? That would get my attention. I think that would get most people's attention, right? God's instructions, God's voice coming to you from the middle of a fire inside of a bush on a mountainside. That's what's happening here. God is revealing himself to Moses in a burning bush. And yet Moses isn't totally sold, okay? Following this encounter, we see Moses immediately starts playing the what if game, okay? Here's how it goes down. In Exodus 3, God reveals his entire plan to Moses. He tells Moses his role in the whole deal, that he's got a plan for him. He gives him his first set of instructions to go, deliver the news, to go tell the people, and even assures Moses he will be with him every step of the way. He says, and I will be with you. He even says, I'll make the Egyptians look favorably on you, okay? He gives him this promise. I will be with you, but here is what I need from you. And in the very next chapter, Exodus 4, verse 1, we see how Moses responds. Here's what it says. But Moses protested again. What if? What if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? He protested. He's saying, I'm not doing this. Why? Because what if it doesn't work? He's afraid. He's not sure that he's got what it takes to make it happen. He's not convinced he's the right man for the job or that he's really up to the task. What if they don't listen to me? He says, what if I can't make this happen? What if nobody responds to me the way you're telling me they will? What if? What if? What if, what if, what if, what if, right? It's the same game that we play when we are afraid. What if? It's the same game we play when we're afraid, especially in areas of our life. I think it's especially in areas of our life that God might be working out in us some of his greatest plans for us. But rather than considering that God knows what he's doing, rather than considering that God's, got this thing mapped out, rather than trusting that he knows what he's up to, or rather than believing that his plan is the best plan or that his way is the best way, what do? We roll out a long line of what ifs. Hey, God, sounds pretty good. Appreciate you standing in my corner. Appreciate your confidence in me. But what if I can't do it? I mean, what if I mess up? What if I make a mistake? What if I get into the middle of this thing and I don't know how to get out? What if the economy drops? What if I get hurt or what if I get sick? What if I don't ever get married? I mean, what if we can't handle it? What if we can't have kids? What if we have too many kids? What if the polar vortex disintegrates my car, right? It's parked in the driveway. There's so many questions that we don't know the answers to. What if? What if? What if? What if? So many bad things that could happen. So many things that we just don't know how this will turn out. And that can be scary when we don't know how those things are going to turn out in our life. But the good news is, when it comes to this story, when it comes to Moses, we do know how it turns out for him. And I think that we can find a whole lot of encouragement from what happens. Okay? After a lot of pushing and prodding and promising from God, hey, I'll be there. I got you. I'll speak through you. I'll work through you. After a lot of promising from God, Moses finally steps up to the plate. And with God on his side, he hits a history-changing, a generation-altering, and a faith-shaping home run. He knocks it out of the park. He speaks boldly to the Egyptian leaders and to his own people. He performs unthinkable feats in front of them. And eventually, after a lot of ups and downs, after a lot of twists and turns, eventually he frees an entire nation, men, women, and children, thousands upon thousands. He delivers an entire nation of people from slavery in Egypt in epic fashion. And he reaches a potential as a leader that he did not know was possible because of the fear in him that he couldn't get it done. Folks, here's what I want us to learn. Here's what I want us here's what I want to suggest for all of us here this morning. When it comes to our fears, when it comes to our potential in life, that sometimes we have to face our greatest fears in order to reach our greatest potential. Let me say that again. Sometimes we have to face our greatest fears, fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of being alone, fear of saying yes, fear of saying no, fear of taking that chance, fear of taking that job, right? We have to face our greatest fears in order to reach our greatest God-given potential. And as much as I believe that to be true, I also want to be very clear to everyone here this morning about how that unfolds. Because sometimes, here's what happens, sometimes this trips people up. Sometimes people get confused with how this works, right? Finally stepping up to the plate, finally facing your fears, finally doing things God's way, finally saying yes to the things that God wants us to do and doing so in faith. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that the road ahead will be an easy one, right? It doesn't guarantee that there will be no bumps or no twists or no turns along the way. Sometimes we get that mixed up. We say, hey, if I'm going to like do this thing God's way, if I'm going to say yes to God, then life should just be perfect, right? The whole this thing should be smooth sailing, right? Not a worry in the world. And then a few bumps hit and we kind of go, God, well, you know, what happened? I thought I'm doing this your way, God, why? Right? So sometimes we get this mixed up. Moses himself in this journey, he got pushback all along the way, from the Egyptian leaders to start, and then from his own people on top of that. This whole deal, right, this whole deal that Moses is leading, it could have gone off the rails at any single moment along the way. But God saw it, and God saw Moses through till the very end. And the end of it all was nothing short of spectacular. And it all started with Moses making a decision to face his fear. And facing his greatest fear led him to reaching some of the greatest of his God-given potential. In many ways, when I think about this story, when I think about facing fears and reaching potential, in many ways, my story is no different. In the last few years, it was in the early months of 2015 when my wife and I had a thought. And by my wife and I mean mostly I. I had a thought in the early winter months of 2015. I thought to myself, I wonder if we should plant a church. I wonder if we should plant a church, Erica. So I reached out to some leaders in our regional conference of churches up in Minneapolis, and I told them what I was thinking. I said, hey, I don't know. I had a thought. What if I should plant a church? And so Erica and I were ultimately invited to what they call a church planner's assessment center. in May of 2015. It was an intensive weekend where they examined us both from every single angle, our lives, our marriages, our personality, our emotional health, our skills, our ability, our life in ministry, and so on. They examined us from every single angle. And at the end of this weekend assessment, where they're trying to determine whether or not they want to stand behind you as an organization, at the end of this weekend assessment, we were given the green light. Right, our assessors excitedly and enthusiastically gave us the green light. They gave us the thumbs up to plant a church with the support of the Greater Covenant Church behind us. This was a big deal. I was in this assessment center with a lot of people who are waiting and hoping and wishing and just praying that that is the answer that they would receive too. And that's what we received. We got the thumbs up. And yet, as some of you this morning know, as quickly as they said yes to us, we said no to them. We're not going to do it. I don't know if I would have totally admitted it at the time, but looking back now, I'm absolutely sure that one of the biggest reasons why I said no is because I was afraid. I was afraid. If you remember at the top of this message, I told you that one of my greatest fears is the fear of what? Fear of failure, that I don't have what it takes, that I'm not good enough, or I'm not as good as, or that I won't be able to make it happen. So when it came to planning a church, starting something from nothing, I was absolutely afraid of failing, right? And there was no guarantee that this thing would work out. In fact, I was almost kind of convinced that it couldn't work out. Right, and in my mind, I had all of the evidence. I had all of the proof I needed. At that point in our lives, my wife Erica and I, we really only knew about we knew like three church planters personally in our lives. I mean, that we had been up close and personal. We knew three church planters, as they call them, personally, and each of them were gifted pastors, sharp leaders, incredibly effective in their ministry in the church, and quite frankly, more experienced than I was at the time. And all of them went on to plant a church, and none of them ended up working out. And so I thought, why in the world? Why in the world would I subject myself to the very same possibility? Why would I do that? I couldn't stand the thought. I'm terrified, literally, of the thought of planting a church and then watching it just crumble in front of me. I could not stomach the thought of trying and failing. Could not stomach the thought of trying and failing, right? I was afraid. So a year went by. And Eric and I had put church planting behind us. We would put that chapter in our life. We would put that thought of ours or that thought of mine behind us. And out of the blue, this is a year later, out of the blue, the director of church planting in the upper Midwest, he reached out to me. Out of the blue, he called me up and he asked how I was doing. He asked how things are going. He asked how the last year had been going for me. And he asked if I was interested in attending the church planters training. Okay, it's the second part of this this set, right? First, there's the assessment center, and then there's the training for church planters who are ready to go make it happen. He asked if I was interested in attending the church planters training that was happening, of all places, right here in Minneapolis. He said, "Hey, man, would you come?" And reluctantly, I said, "Sure, I'll come." And over the course of that week, my heart changed. Right, so throughout an intensive week of learning and training and tools and resources, right, that there was one thought. I mean, I kept hearing the same message in my head and in my heart over and over and over, which was this, right, that planting a church might be just as much about what God wanted to do in me as it was about what God wanted to do through me. Right, that's the same message that kept coming over and over and over to me. What if this thing called church planting, what if it was as much about what God wanted to do in me as it was about what God wanted to do through me? I kept having this sense that the things that I needed to learn, that the trust that I needed to develop, the faith that needed to grow in me, and that the potential that I wanted to tap into, I kept having this sense that it would happen best. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen at all, but I kept having this sense come over me that all those things, the things to learn, the faith to grow, the trust to develop would happen best when I said yes to this crazy idea of planting a church. And so I came home and I told Erica, I think we got to do this. Right? And we had committed, we were apart for the week, but we were committed to be praying that we would land at the same decision. I came home and I told Erica, I think we got to do this. And she agreed. She said, yeah, I think so too. And now we were both afraid. I was still afraid to fail, but Erica was afraid, I think, to start. I remember her asking so often in those days, I remember asking, where do the people come from? Where does the money come from? Where does anything come from that we need to make something out of nothing? And all I would say was, I'm not quite sure. But buckle up, because here we go. And here we are now, right? All of that then led to this here now, right? And I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're still new. We're still a young church trying to figure stuff out. So we're just so grateful that you guys like continue to hang with us and don't come once and go like, yeah, I'm never coming back to that thing ever again, right? I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here. We're still young. We're still a new church. But here's the thing, right? It's not even been 2 years that have gone by since we officially took that leap. Since I transitioned from a job and an office and a staff and resources and a stage and a light. It's not even been 2 years since I made that leap, but here's the deal. Not a day goes by where I'm not convinced that I'm on the path that God wants for me. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not convinced that it is only through this deal, facing my greatest fear, that I will reach my greatest potential in God's kingdom here on earth. That God is working out the best in me, the best version of me throughout this whole process. And I believe the same is true for you. I believe the same is true for each one of you here this morning. Is it always easy? No. Right? Facing our fears, facing our greatest fears will never, 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 never be easy, but we gotta do it anyway if we're gonna reach our greatest God-given potential in the places that He has called us to live, in the places that He has called us to love, in the places that He has called us to lead. So let me just ask you here this morning, what fear do you know? I mean, do you have a sense of it? What fear is it in you that is holding you down or that is holding you back? That is keeping you locked in one place, keeping you locked right where you are right now, right? Is it possible that fear is revealing to you where it is that you trust God the least? Ask yourself, what part of your life might God be asking you to trust Him more? And then make this week, make this month, make this year about facing that fear. You take the leap, or you take the chance, or you take the job. You say yes to the promotion or to that opportunity. You say no to what it is that's pleasing to other people, but totally depleting for you. I mean, you stay single, or you stay sober, or you stay faithful. You stay committed to the path that you're on, even when it's hard, and you trust. And you trust and you trust that God is working out in you through the very process, that God is working out in you the very best version of you. And you do it all, okay? You do it all with the assurance that God has not given you a spirit of fear. That God has not given you a spirit of timidity. So if you're feeling afraid, it's not from God. You picked it up somewhere along the way. So don't accept it. Don't give into it. Don't back down from it, because what God has given you is a spirit of power, is a spirit of love and of a sound mind. So let me end with this, right? Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Let me pray. God, this is hard stuff to just even kind of open our mind or open our heart to, you know, this closet that we would, you know, probably rather just keep closed to look at it is what you know, the fears inside of us. God, this is hard work, and so we just ask for your help. God, that you would help us to identify what fear in us might be holding us back. God, what fear in us might be preventing us from reaching the greatest potential in reaching and fulfilling the greatest plans that you have for us, God. And when we've identified that, God, when we can name it, when we can put our finger on it, would you just give us unthinkable amounts of courage to face our fear, God, so that we might have the chance to reach our greatest God-given potential. God, would you give us fear? Would you remind us, or would you give us a courage, God, and remind us that fear is not from you, that fear in us is not a part of your original design for us, God, but you've given us a power, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, would you encourage us? Would you fill us with courage to take a step into the unknown, to move beyond the what if and into the belief that you are, that God is in control, that God is calling the shots. God, would you help us to believe that you are leading the way for each and every one of us, and would you give us the courage to follow? We pray all these things in your name. Amen.